God is sending a couple to Sri Lanka to tell people about our Savior. God's sending a family, who knows where, across the United States and other countries, to help teenagers. God's sending a new couple to Ireland to tell people about our wonderful Savior. And God has a Bible-believing, Bible-practicing church at the intersection of two roads. They're not only reaching people in the surrounding community, but they're helping missionaries go around the world. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord for what He's doing. 1990, Kathy and I and three of our children went to a place called Masindi, Uganda. As we started the church, one of the first ministries was our youth ministry. And the young people responded. My children got to grow up in that youth ministry, and it was special to them. They used to go to the hospital every Sunday afternoon and just go from room to room and talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That same youth ministry, not the same young people because it's been 30 years, but that same youth ministry is still doing that in Masindi. In 1971, a man by the name of Idi Amin, with a coup, overthrew the government in Uganda and became the dictator. If you get a book about him and read about him, you'll conclude that he was an animal. That's how I refer to him, because that's what he was. If you just pull up on something on the internet, it'll probably identify him as the butcher of Uganda. Just slaughtered. I mean, the blood flowed under the rule of Idi Amin. Last year, some in the youth group of Uganda Baptist Church in Masindi led Amin's grandson to the Lord. And he's now in the Bible Institute there in Masindi training for the ministry. Just shows you what God can do. Kathy and I have 18 grandchildren. And our one daughter has two of those 18, and a few years ago, they told us, they said, "Grandpa, we'd like for you to take what you would do for us for Christmas and maybe some could be added to it and use that money to buy presents for children in Africa. Instead of us getting something, we'd like for you to do something for children in Africa." So we've been doing that for the last few years, and I try to get them a picture and give that to them. And this year we got right up to Christmas, and so I sent Sadok a note, and I told him how much money, and I said, "I want you to go and buy some food and some toys for a family that's needy." Not just a family, but somebody that really needs. Somebody that it'll make a difference for them. Here's what he wrote to me. "Hello, Pastor. I hope you had a very good day yesterday. Me and my wife thought about many people and then prayed. The Lord placed Brother Emmanuel and his family to our heart. His wife has been sick and the kids were sick. His mother could be dying any time. They've been going through a lot. We decided to go to them. When I got there, they were just sitting speechless because they had no food. This was Christmas Day. Then I told them that two angels had sent them food. Immediately they started crying. I went with Emmanuel and his son, and we loaded the food on the wheelbarrow and brought it home. The kids loved the toys. They were the first toys in their lives. They stopped crying gradually as we talked about the goodness of our Lord. I left them crying the tears of joy. I was really blessed with our sweet fellowship. We talked about what God has done this year. I encouraged them in the Lord. Then we sung some spiritual songs, and then I went back home rejoicing. They told me to thank you and to tell you to thank your children on their behalf. I read that same little paragraph in a church about 2 months ago, and a man came up to me after the church, and he said, "You think I could, my wife and I could give something to that family just to further what has been done?" And I said, "Sure, you just send the money to Madison Baptist and market, and I'll make sure that it gets to them." So he said, "Couldn't I just give you a check? I've already written it out. Couldn't I just give you a check?" And I said, "Yeah, I'll take it, and I'll give it to the church, and then I'll make sure the money goes on." Well, he gave me a check, and it was for $1,000. So I sent the money to Sadoc, and I said, "Now, just get it in francs, Rondi's francs, and I want you to take it and give it to him." And so he did, and they said, "It's a miracle, just a miracle." They took $1,000, and they had some debts, they said, and they paid those debts. They did some work on their house, and then they had a little bit left over. Can you imagine? $1,000 paying all your debts working on your house and having a little bit left over. We just need to praise the Lord, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles tonight to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And let's begin reading in verse 1. We'll read down through verse 8. We're going to read all the way through 20 eventually, but let's just begin by reading verses 1 through 8. Mark chapter 1, chapter 5, and verse 1. "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.'" Father, thank you for this story. Use it tonight, God, to encourage us. Lord Jesus, you've done so much for us. You did so much for that man. You've done so much for us. Use us, God, to pass on to others what you can do for them. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. He has done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He has done so much for me that I cannot tell it all. He's done so much for me. This man had a need. He was possessed by many unclean spirits or demons. He lived in the graveyard, the tombs, among the tombs. Day and night you could hear him crying. It says he would take stones and, I guess, scratch his arms, legs, wherever, and cause bleeding. This man was in bondage, terrible bondage. I've never known what this man knew. You probably haven't either. But he met Jesus. And Jesus, with his compassion, cast out the evil spirits. And this man was a new man, a different man. For me, I was 11 years old. I'm not going to take the time to tell the experience, but that night I met the Lord Jesus Christ. He came into my life, and he's been there ever since that night. He saved me from the penalty of sin. I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to be cast alive into the lake of fire, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I believed, and I've been saved. I'm not going to hell. Many are, but I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to be cast into the lake of fire because of what Jesus has done for me. He saved me from the power of sin. There is victory. I believe God intends for us to be victorious over sin. I believe God intends for us to say no to the world, say no to the flesh, say no to the devil, and have victory. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus washed my sins away. I'm clean. My sins have been forgiven, and my sins have been forgotten. You know, some people want to bring up things over and over and over. They never let us forget some things. But praise the Lord, because of Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. I've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been washed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Jesus gave me a new life. I'm a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jesus gave me everlasting life. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I may die, but I'll be raised to live forever. Jesus gave me a new family. Now, I thank God for my mom. She's gone to heaven. I thank God for my daddy. He's gone to heaven. I thank God for my brothers and sisters. Some of them are gone. Some of them are still around. But Jesus gave me a new family. When I got saved, I got a new father, the Almighty God. When I got saved, I got new, additional brothers and sisters in this new family. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John 1:12. Jesus is preparing me a new home in the Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. A new home. Jesus is going to give me a new body. Now that ought to cause somebody to shout. I'm having to hold myself back because I'm an old man and I've got a broken body, and boy, I could sure use one tonight. But I'm going to have to wait for the new body, but I'm going to get a new body. It says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Boy, a new body. Now, you young people, that doesn't mean much to you. But it will. It will before it's over. Jesus is going to take me to a place where there will be no more death. That's what people fear. But Jesus will take you to a place where there'll be no more death. Nor sorrow, nor crying, nor pain. Revelation chapter 21. Let me read it for you. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Now, I'm telling you, there's a group of four right there. There are people that would give everything they've got for one or more of those. And yet Jesus made a way and made a promise. And he's going to take me to that place someday. And there's going to be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and no more pain. Well, look at the time. Look at the activity. Look at the money. Look at the effort, the energy that is used today to deal with those four. And yet I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I was born again, and being born again, this promise became personal for me. For me. But it's even better. Not only will there be no more death, there'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more pain. If there's not going to be any of those things, then there won't be any of those things that cause those things. You following me? No murderers. Nobody beating up on somebody. no arthritis, kidney stones. I guess there won't be any more babies born. I don't know. We better hold on that one, okay? But I'm just simply saying pain, pain, pain. Everybody's trying to deal with pain. No more. No mores of heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus has answered prayers for me. Amen. See, I can go to the Father who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. I can go to the Father through Jesus. I've got direct access. I can talk to the Father. You know, I'd like to get in and see Mr. Biden and have a face-to-face talk and him listen to me, but that's not going to happen. But I can talk to the greatest because of Jesus. Jesus has answered prayers for me. Sometimes it's been a need. I mean, I had a need. Well, I could give you a story. I'm not just talking. I could give you story after story after story after story. Had a need. Sometimes it was a want. Isn't that something? There's a difference between a need and a want. A want. Boy. Sometimes I've been in trouble. And have to cry out to God. The other day I was preaching at Madison in my home church and Sunday night, and just got started in the message. Had made a couple of introductory remarks, and it all stopped. My thoughts, it was done, and I just said, Pastor was sitting in the back of the auditorium, and I said, Pastor, I'm in trouble. And was saying that, Pastor, I'm in trouble, I then just prayed to the Lord, called out to God in Jesus' name. And I'm telling you, when I said amen, things were different, and it didn't matter what I preached. The people had seen God. That's what they told me. People came up afterwards. They were so encouraged how that the Lord had answered prayer. Sometimes it's been relative to somebody special. I could tell you times when I prayed specifically for one of my children, one of our children. Oh, I could tell you. Maybe a relative calls and says, would you pray? And maybe somebody from church, but you prayed. And God answered. Sometimes it comes quickly. Sometimes a day, not that it takes God a long time, but he has reasons why he answers sometimes immediately and sometimes it takes a while. He has been so good to me that I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. I cannot tell it all. He has been so good to me that I cannot tell it all. He has been so good to me. Now in the story, Jesus cast out the evil spirits, sent them into the swine. The swine ran off into the water. They drowned, and that was a problem for the owners. But jump down with me in the story to verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Jesus, can you imagine? He's getting into the ship, and they're going to row out and let the wind catch the sail and move on. And here comes this man up on the land, I would assume, maybe even wading into the water, coming up next to the ship. I don't know exactly, but he says, I want to go with you. I want to go with you. And Jesus says, no. Can you imagine? I mean, if somebody's done what Jesus has done for him, you can understand him saying, I want to go with you. I can see you. You want to stay just as close to him as you can. Jesus is going to tell him no. Verse 19. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home. He gives him a mission. See, the reason he doesn't take us home is because he has a mission for us. The reason we're still here tonight, whoever you are, whatever your age, if you're saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he hasn't taken you home yet because he has a mission for you. You don't have to go to Sri Lanka. Some do. God leads them. God tells them. You don't have to go to Ireland. Some do. But listen to what he says to this man. He tells him, you can't go with me. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. How great things the Lord hath done for thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Jesus said, you can't go with me. I've got something I want you to do. I've got a mission for you. I want you to go back home. I want you to find your friends, and I want you to tell them what I've done for you. So he does it. Just that simple. I didn't say it's that easy. I said it's that simple. He tells us something to do, and we do it. And so he goes to Decapolis, and I like that it says, publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. I don't know everything that happened in that man's life. We don't know all the details. But if I just take what was done for him that we read in the passage, the demons cast out, okay? That's good. But that's nothing compared to what he's done for me. Are you with me? I mean, would you agree? That's wonderful. Great thing that he's done. And I don't know all else that may come into the story, but all it tells me is that one thing. But I gave you 10 things that he's done for me. I'm not going to repeat them all, but I'm not going to hell. Praise God, I'm not going to hell because of Jesus, what he's done for me. I'm not going to be cast alive into the lake of fire. Praise God, I can have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, I've seen answers to prayer through the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got a mission just like that man had a mission. I need to go to my friends. God may send me to Ireland. I don't think he's going to send me to Ireland. God may send you to who knows where. But I believe with all my heart, if Jesus wanted this man to go to his friends and tell his friends how that Jesus had cast out the demons, surely he wants us, who he's done so much for. He wants us. He's given us a mission. Go to our friends, and friends could encompass a lot of people. different classifications. He wants us to go to our friends and tell our friends what he's done for us. What about it? What about it? You got some friends? Anybody got any friends? I'll tell you what, you tell them what Jesus Christ has done for you, and they say, could he do that for me? And you tell them, yes, he can, and they receive him, and he does, they're going to be a better friend than you've ever had. They're going to be grateful for what Jesus has done for them and for you telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. A mission. This man had a mission. I believe we can make an application here. He's done so much for us. We have a mission. You may not never leave the state of Tennessee. What did you say this county is?
Haywood.
Haywood. You may never leave this county, but you can tell your friends. I encourage you, write down a few things. You know, here's a problem. Now listen to me. This is an important line. Listen to me now. Many times we have Jesus and what he has done for us in our mind, but we don't have him. We don't have it on our mind. On our mind. Are you with me? It's up there somewhere in one of those compartments, but it needs to be on our mind day after day, and with it on our mind, we need to tell our friends. Are you a missionary tonight? In the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are. Are you an obedient missionary tonight? If you're not, you can be. You can be. I'm going to encourage you tonight. Our sister will come and play something on the piano. And, you know, why not ask God to put somebody on your heart tonight? Doesn't have to be 10. It doesn't have to be 15. Just ask him for one. Just start with one. Just say, Lord, would you put somebody on my heart tonight? One of my friends that I could just go and sit down with him and say, I just like, you could just read him this story. That'd be a good way to start. Read him this story about this man that was filled with these demons, and that'll get their attention. You got their attention. I'm telling you. You'll get their attention. Just take your little New Testament. I'm going to read you a story, true story. But then say, but you know, God's done more for me. I'd just like to tell you what Jesus has done for me. Now, folks, I want to say this to you. Listen to me carefully. I love you. You can sit right where you are, and it's okay. God can hear you right where you are. But I'm telling you, there is something about getting up and moving forward toward God. It shows God you're really seeking him. You're not. So I would encourage you, just find a place around the altar here tonight and ask him. Just say, Lord, I want to be a missionary. I want to be a missionary for you, Jesus. I want to tell people what you have done for me. And ask him, say, would you put somebody on my heart? Would you put somebody? You could write him a letter. You could go see him personally. You could call him on the phone. You could send him an email. Personal really, really is good. I'm going to pray while she's going to begin to play, and let's just listen to the Lord, all right? Father, Lord Jesus, I'm so encouraged by what I've read tonight. And I know, God, you put this message on my heart for me even before the people here. But together, God, we need to reach people and tell them how good our Savior has been to us and the things He's done. Lay upon our hearts somebody, one or more. I ask you to do this in Jesus' name. While she plays, you talk to the Lord. Yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, why don't you just come? We'd be glad to share with you and pray with you. And tonight it can begin for you. All these wonderful things, they're for everybody that's saved. Would you like to come and be saved tonight? Put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Boy, God has been good to us, hasn't He? I can look around. I don't know every detail of your story. I know every detail of my story. But I know some details of every family in here tonight. And God has been good to us. It's been good to your family. It's been good to this church. Giving you good health. By the way, we can name blessing after blessing, but just the truth of who He is to us, that's one of the great goodnesses of God. Amen.